Well, I want you to take a look at those sitting around you this morning. The young, the old, the married, the single, students, teachers, businessmen and women, homemakers and nurses, truck drivers and lawyers. It might not seem like it at first. You might not feel like this right now, but every single person in this room, yourself included, is a radical. A radical. Because you're doing something right now that puts you in a shrinking minority of self-proclaimed Christians. You're going to church. A decade or so ago, a string of books came out urging ordinary Christians to jump off the American dream bandwagon and instead commit themselves to being radical, by which they meant not to settle for a conventional faith, but to go all in, to change the world for Jesus, to be radical. And then if you were here last week, we talked about how much we need the example of the saints throughout church history, because they take this stuff seriously, many of them living in ways that we would never even dare to be radical. And so, Father West, now you're telling me that in this day and age, it's a radical thing simply to go to church? Are we setting the bar that low? Well, not at all. What I am saying is that it has always been a radical thing for the people of God to gather around the Word of God and around the table of God week after week after week in order to give thanks and praise to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What we're doing right now is more radical than you think. If you're looking for something to help get you through your week, then there are far better solutions out there than sitting through a sometimes dull 90-minute liturgical service. Better to fill your Sunday mornings with youth sports or Netflix or boozy brunches or even sleeping in. But if you are looking for something radical, if you're looking for divine encounter, communal transformation, to put yourself among a people who are becoming the body of Christ, broken for the life of the world, then my friends, this is it right here. Right now, this weekly gathering is the beating heart of the Christian life, what I'm going to call the radical return to Jesus. Now, like our gospel passage today, at first glance, this might not seem like much of a big deal. Nothing really to see here, just another account of Jesus healing the sick. But if you look more closely, this story just might be taken as the definition of the Christian life, seen in the Samaritan leper, who after being healed returns to Jesus, falls at his feet, and gives him thanks and praise. Now, let us not forget that this entire scene is framed by Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. That's how the story begins. Jesus is on the way, which is shorthand for the way of the cross. You know, the way of discipleship, the way of the Christian life. And then notice how the story ends, with Jesus raising this man to his feet and then sending him forth on his way, on the same way, the way of the Christian life. That's how the story is framed. But of course, one of the main points of the story is that this man is not the only one who is healed, is he? No, at the beginning of this story, there are 10 lepers, but by the end, there remains only one, this radical. What is it that makes him so radical? At the start, they're all in the same boat, keeping their distance, crying out for mercy, enduring an existence that we can hardly imagine. Though modern medicine has all but eliminated this disease or diseases like it, back then it was chronic and uncurable, characterized by sores and scabs, these white spots oozing beneath the skin. And to control the spread of this disease, lepers were required to remove themselves from society, from their families, which meant that many of them would live in leper colonies, and they would wear this clothing of mourning that would identify themselves as lepers. Some would even ring bells to alert people of their presence. When Jesus hears them crying for mercy, he doesn't immediately pronounce healing upon them. I mean, he doesn't even approach them or try to touch them like he so often does with those who come to him for help. No, he simply tells them to go away and show themselves to the priests, those who could determine whether or not the disease was still present, whether or not they were clean or unclean, meaning whether they were fit to participate in temple worship. And it was only, quote, as they went that these lepers are healed. It doesn't happen instantaneously, but only as they journey to show themselves to the priests that they discover, lo and behold, their leprosy is gone. It appears the others continue following Jesus' command all the way through. No doubt they are ready to be cleared by a priest so they can finally return to their family, to Jewish society. And of course, they are not wrong for doing so. But the Samaritan, he does something else. He does something radical, something unexpected, above and beyond the normal nine. And here's what he does. He returns to Jesus, prostrates himself at his feet, and gives him thanks and praise. Pretty radical stuff, don't you think? Don't you think? I mean, at least Jesus thinks so, right? We're not 10 made clean, he says, but the other nine, where are they? Apparently, according to Jesus, this is the response he anticipates. This is what we who have been healed by Jesus, this is what he expects from us, a radical return. I don't know about you, but I can't help but to notice in this scene the very actions that we perform each and every Sunday. Starting with verse 15, when the Samaritan saw that he was healed, he turned back. That's not only the first response of the Christian life, it's the everyday response of the Christian life, to repent, to turn back to Jesus. It's that critical moment in the parable of the prodigal son when the son finally comes to his senses and turns back to return to his father's house, where to his great surprise, he is not met with condemnation, not with judgment, but with a warm embrace and a feast fit for his return. This is the radical return to Jesus. And it's something we get to enact each and every Sunday when we wake up, get dressed, drive to All Saints, and come into this space. We are doing nothing less than what Jesus expects, our regular repentance, turning back to his embrace, turning back to the feast that he has prepared for us. And then look at verse 16. Look at these two verbs here that describe what the leper does upon his return. First, the text says, he prostrates himself before Jesus, which biblically speaking is another word for worship. The man returns to worship Jesus. And then second, the text says that he thanks Jesus. And the Greek word here is eucharisto, which is where we get the word Eucharist. I mean, do you see what's going on? Do you see what this man is doing? He's doing what we do. He's kneeling at the rail, hands outstretched, ready to receive the gift of Jesus. And then notice what happens next. Jesus raises him up and sends him out, which again mirrors what we will do at the end of this service when we are sent out to do the work God has given us to do. My friends, in this passage, is the heart of Christian worship. This is what we do each and every Sunday. We keep the feast, right? We turn back to Jesus with thanks and praise, and then we are sent out into the world to love and serve him as his faithful witnesses. This is the radical return. I had a professor in seminary, one of my favorites, who would always say to his students, many of whom would become future pastors, he would tell them, "I don't go to church to be told to go to church. I go to church to be told to go out into the world." Well, Dr. Hanna, I hear that. I just don't think it's a either or question. It's a both and. We need to be reminded of who we are. We need to be reminded of this back and forth motion that's the lungs of the air that we breathe. We need to be reminded of the radical and essential practice of gathering around word and sacrament so that we might be continually nourished and transformed for the life of the world. I mean, I get it. I really do. No one wants to be berated at church, and that's not what's going on, right? I don't want anyone to hear that, so please hear my heart. This isn't about shaming anybody. This isn't about making you feel guilty. This is about making sure you know that you are invited to the Father's party and that this party is central to your ongoing salvation, your participation in the divine nature. I mean, what if you're invited each and every Friday to pull up a chair at the family table and enjoy a lavish feast with those whom you love? But instead, you turn the invitation down because you're already locked into your own Friday night routine. Going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Eating alone in your car because you think a happy meal will make you happy. Now, what will your family do when they discover this travesty? Everything they can to encourage you to keep the feast. They will welcome you to a better party, not to shame you, not to make you feel bad about yourself, but to lavish you with love, because that's who you are, that's what you need. Now, yes, I do realize that this comparison might not seem the same, this comparison to the Sunday table that we're invited to. In fact, you might kind of feel like Naaman did in response to Elisha's instructions. Are you kidding me? I'm a leper, and I've come to you for help, and you won't even come out to say hello? But instead, you tell me to jump 7 times into the dirty waters of the Jordan River? Give me a break. I mean, sometimes it does feel that way, doesn't it? The standing to sing, the kneeling to pray, the sitting to listen, a stale wafer and a sip of wine, a hassle to get here, an awkward conversation over there. Give me a break. But my friends, this is why it's radical. It's radical that God meets us in the ordinary. It's radical that God restores us in our returning. It's radical that God speaks to us anew through these ancient words that we recite week after week. Man, it is radical that God inhabits the praises of his people. And it is radical that the bread becomes the body and that the wine becomes his blood. It's radical when we return to Jesus. So yes, look around. Look at those sitting next to you this morning, that radical guy, that radical gal, the former lepers who are not content to go back to life as normal, but those who return again and again through word and sacrament to the person of Jesus. Yes, we are the radicals as long as we keep returning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you always face us even when we run. And you await us with arms open wide, ready for a warm embrace, ready to prepare a feast for us. Thank you for the radical gift that this is to gather as your people, to house your very presence, so that you might do a work in us and a work through us for the healing of the world. May we not neglect this gift. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.